This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. A New Beginning by DG here. I was sitting there in a nice restaurant minding my own business when I heard the commotion across the aisle. I looked up and a man was standing up yelling at this woman. You fucking bitch, slut, whore, get the fuck out of my life. Take your fucking bastard kids with you. Before I could get up and stop him, he backhanded the woman. I grabbed him and gave him a punch to the face, bloodying his nose and knocking him down. By then, the manager had shown up with two male employees, picked the man up and took him to the nearest exit and threw him out. Minutes later, the police showed up and talked to the man out in the parking lot. I helped the distressed woman up and took some ice cubes out of a glass and wrapped them in a cloth napkin, and she held it against her cheek. I guided her out the front door with all the spying eyes watching us. The police separated the two of us and talked with me. I told them exactly what happened and that I stopped the man from beating on the woman more than he had already done. I explained that I didn't know either of the two people involved but did what I felt was right. I went back into the restaurant and finished my dinner. The manager came over and thanked me for helping out and told me my dinner was on the house. I told him in that case I would have dessert. I was sitting there eating my free dessert wondering what the hell I just did. I butted into an argument between two people not even knowing either one of them. I did what I felt was right on impulse. I wondered how I would have acted if I had thought about it. Hell, the idiot might have had a gun or something. I still felt good about myself believing I did the right thing. In fact, a number of people came up to me and congratulated me as they left the restaurant. I had to get back to work, but I was feeling pretty good about myself, even though my knuckles hurt. I was a personnel manager at one of the local businesses. I had to get back and do some interviews for a couple of positions. My bosses wanted my opinions by the end of the week. These positions needed filling and I was the first interviewer. They counted on me not to waste their time on applicants who didn't meet the criteria they wanted. They knew I was good at my job and almost always went with my recommendations. We had to fill two positions, an engineer and an assistant personnel manager. My duties were getting heavy with contract negotiation time coming up. I had two people for the bosses to look at for the engineering position, but my assistant hunt wasn't going too well. I had interviewed about 12 people with decent credentials but didn't feel secure with any of them yet. I wanted a go-getter but not so far as to think they could replace me. There were a couple of really cocky men that thought the world owed them a living. I had four more interviews set up, two for today and two tomorrow. My next interviewee was a good-looking woman. She had good prior knowledge of personnel departments. She was a secretary for one in her last job. The last man I interviewed didn't have the understanding of the union plant. He wouldn't be a good negotiator. Well, two more interviews tomorrow. So far the secretary had my vote. I went home to my apartment. I lived alone now. I had been married, but like in most cases it was either cheating or money problems that resulted in divorce. Mine was a cheating wife due to mistaken identity. Maybe that needs a little more explaining. In my younger days, I am now 44, I was known to be a ladies' man. I couldn't help it. I liked my women. If I saw a pair of thighs or tight pants, I went after it. My only requirement was that the woman not be married. As much as I love to look at married women, I didn't want to be responsible for their divorces. I had my share of women, all sizes and shapes. I did prefer women who were slightly overweight. Not obese, but enough overweight to give me something to hold on to. I met my ex-wife about 15 years ago. My single friends and I went to the local nightclubs. That seemed to be the place where the women let loose. I ran into Bree there. She was a looker. We hooked up pretty quickly and spent most of our time together. She was divorced at the time because of catching her husband with his secretary. She walked in with a dinner for him since he said he was working late. As she approached his door, she saw he had his secretary bent over the desk with her skirt up on her back with no panties in sight. He was plowing her with everything he had. They were making so much noise that they didn't see Bree walk in. He exploded into his secretary and then turned around and saw Bree. Too late for any excuses, she screamed that he needed not come home. He could stay with his slut. She would be at the divorce lawyers the following day. They had only been married for 2 years at the time. By the time I met her, she was divorced and out sowing her wild oats. I remember her saying, if she had to do it all over, she would have picked up some guy and fucked him in front of her ex to get revenge. I laughed and told her I better remember that. To cut a long story short, Bree and I were married about 6 months later. Our life was good. That was just before I got my promotion to personnel manager. She had a good job as a department head in one of the local department stores. Our life looked like it was going somewhere, and was very satisfying. We didn't have any kids, not that we didn't want any, but it just hadn't happened. We took trips together and enjoyed our life. Whenever we got with friends, my buddies would tell her what a pussyhound I was. I remember I had to keep telling her. Used to be pussyhound. Since I met her, I was true blue. My friend were big kidders and jokers. They were always playing jokes and pranks on each other. They never hurt each other but got pretty raunchy once in a while. One time Bree got a little aggravated. I could hear it in her voice. She told everyone that if I ever cheated, she would get even. I laughed and told her she didn't need to worry because I had no intention of cheating on her. It was about 2 weeks later that my buddies thought they would have a little fun with me. One of them took his girlfriend up to my office while another one of my friends called my wife and told her to bring me a dinner. I would be working late. The whole idea was when she walked in, they would all just have a laugh. They didn't know that was the exact circumstances of her first divorce. I had a dinner appointment with my bosses, who were all involved in the latest contract. I know I had told my wife I would be home late because of the meeting. I don't remember now whether I told her it was a dinner meeting. It wasn't that important to know anyway. I had no idea my friends were going to do this. Well, Bree showed up with some Chinese food and was headed to my office. Bill had his girlfriend over my desk plowing her fields. When Bree heard the sound, she got closer to the door. She could see a man fucking a woman through the screens. Of course, she thought it was me. She didn't go into the office. She just dropped the food right there on the floor and headed out the door crying. My friends didn't catch up to her in time as she got in her car and drove off. I was sitting at the table when my cell phone went off. It was Bill telling me what had happened. I told my bosses I had an emergency and had to leave. They said the meeting was about over anyway. I rushed to my car and went to the office. Bill and his girlfriend, along with Jim and his wife, were there. They apologized over and over to me. I told them the one they needed to apologize to was Bree, and we all headed to my house so they could explain the prank and misunderstanding to Bree. We went into the house and called for Bree. She didn't answer. I headed upstairs to see if she was in the bedroom. She was there all right with a total stranger between her legs pumping her for all he was worth. As I entered the room, she looked at me and asked, "How does it feel, you cheating bastard?" as she laughed at me. At that point, all my friends came into the room and saw Bree spread-eagled with this stranger she had picked up. I turned around and walked out. My friends tried to stop me, but I kept going. Jim called me the next day and apologized again. He told me what transpired after I left. Jim's explanation of what happened after I walked out, we all stood there wondering what had happened. At about the same time, the stranger pumped his load into Bree. He got up and told her, "Anytime you want to get even again, lovely lady, give me a call." He left her a card and smiled at them as he walked past them. Bree looked at them and said, "Where the fuck is he? I want to know his fucking response." Jim spoke first. "He left Bree. He walked out the door. The reason we are all here was to tell you that Jack didn't fuck anyone. He did too. I saw him, in his office, fucking some woman." Barb spoke. "It was me, Bree. I was having sex with Bill. God, I'm so sorry. We were just playing a little joke on you and Jack. You ran out so fast we weren't able to catch you. We called Jack and told him and waited for him to get back to the office. He asked us all to come over here and apologize to you. That's why we're here. Where was Jack then if he wasn't there?" Jim spoke. "He had that contract dinner meeting with his bosses. Remember, he told you about it the other day when we were all together." Bree started crying and told us all to get out. We tried to explain further, but she said she didn't want to see any of us again. As Jim finished telling me what happened, I told him, "I feel the same way, Jim. Tell Bill also. You guys went too far this time. You fucked up my marriage and right now I don't want to see any of you. Now please leave my office or I'll have you fired for being in here after hours. You had no right to do what you guys did, Jim. Joke or not, you went too far." Jim turned around and left my office. My phone kept ringing. It was Bree. She kept saying how sorry she was and asked me to forgive her. "Bree, you took a strange man into our marital bed within an hour of thinking I did something that I promised you I would not do. Our marriage is over. If that's the full extent of trust you have in me, it's not enough. I want nothing more to do with you. I loved you. I guess I always will. You don't just fall out of love with someone. At the same time, Bree, I hate you. I hate what you've done to our marriage. By the way, your stranger friend didn't even wear protection. I hope you didn't catch an STD or maybe even get pregnant. Don't call me again. You can talk with Sally, my lawyer, about the distribution of assets." That was the misunderstanding of my marriage. Sally told me that Bree did see a doctor and took a morning after pill. I was at least glad for that. She made a huge mistake that I could never forget, but I didn't want her to pay with an STD or pregnancy. Over time, I was able to put my life back together without her. I'd been a bachelor again for the last several years. I had my share of sex, but a single guy does miss the love whether he admits it or not. I headed to bed hoping for a couple of good interviews the next day. The first woman that came in had one hell of a body. I could jump her bones in a second. When she took our typing test, she failed. She didn't know much about computers, which was a necessity in this day and age. Too bad I had to let her go. Maybe I could meet up with her sometime at the lounge, I thought. My last interview came in. It was the woman from the restaurant. She looked at me and said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you would be interviewing me." I was taken aback. She was a beautiful woman, all dressed in a nice skirt and blouse. She looked sexy as hell, but at the same time she looked very businesslike. She had one hell of a bruise on her right cheek where the man had struck her yesterday. She had quite a bit of makeup on it to help cover it up. I held out my hand and said, "Jack Jones, I'm the personnel manager here." She knew her business etiquette. She didn't offer her hand till after I offered mine. "Jenny Smith. Glad to meet you, Mr. Jones, and before we go any further I want to thank you once again for helping me with the incident yesterday. That was very bold of you to help a woman in distress. There aren't too many men that would take that chance today. So thank you once again. Thank you for the compliment, Mrs. Smith. May I call you Jenny?" "Jenny is fine, and it's Ms. Smith. I'm not married." That was a surprise after what the man said yesterday. I began reading her resume. She was personnel manager herself at one of the largest department stores. They were closing their doors in a number of states, including ours. Jenny told me she could move to another state or take a settlement package and find another place of employment. I kept thinking about the whore, slut, bitch with bastards issue. If that stuff were true, my bosses would be very angry if we hired her. Our company didn't need that kind of baggage. I decided to put her through the tests. She was the fastest typist we have ever interviewed. She sat in front of the computer and was faster on it than I was. She looked at me and told me she could tell I had a problem with her. Being a personnel manager herself, she told me she realized I couldn't bring up the subjects that were mentioned yesterday. She understood that some private facts weren't allowed to be asked. She told me that she knew she was perfect for the job and was more than qualified. I had to agree with her. I looked at her and asked if we could speak off the record. I know it's not supposed to be done, but I had to have answers because I wanted to give her the job, but if some of the other facts came out later we could have some problems. My bosses usually went with my recommendations, but I was nervous about recommending her, even though she was the most qualified candidate. She sat back in her chair and just stared at me. It was quiet for what seemed like minutes, but was probably only a few seconds. "Mr. Jones? Call me Jack, please. Jack, I respect you for what you did for me yesterday. Now off the record, you want me to tell you some very personal things that have nothing to do with my ability to do the job. I'm not real comfortable with this. I will make you a deal."
"Deal?
What kind of deal?" "You put my name in for the job today. You know I can do it. I know there is no question in your mind that I am more than capable of doing it. Tonight you take me to dinner and I will tell you whatever you want to know. If you aren't satisfied with my answers, you can withdraw my name tomorrow." Holy shit. I can't believe what she just told me. Damn, this woman is perfect for the job. Besides, she really has me interested in her. "Okay, Jenny, I have never done anything like this in my life." She smiled at me. "Jack, just so you know, you're not getting laid tonight. You're just going to find out about my past. By the way, Jack, you aren't married, are you?"
"No, Jenny, I'm very single.
You have my address on the resume. Is 6 p.m. all right?"
6 o'clock is fine, Jenny."
I can't believe what I just did. Taking out an interviewee for dinner. I better turn in her resume for the job right now. Otherwise someone might think she got it because of the date. Boy, I sure hope I didn't make a big blunder here. I checked her address out. It was a very nice house in a nice neighborhood. I pulled up in her drive and knocked on the door. I was greeted by a beautiful girl of about 18.
"Are you Mr. Jones?"
she asked. I replied in the affirmative, and she invited me in.
"I'm Shelley Smith. Glad to meet you, Mr. Jones.
Your actions precede you. Thank you for helping out our mom the other day. We appreciate it. Mom means everything to me and Brian. Brian's my older brother."
"Thank you, Shelley. I just did what seemed necessary under the circumstances." Wow, this girl was one class act. A long way from what I would have called a bastard kid. Just then Jenny came down the stairs. My God, she was beautiful. I know I stared at her too long. I couldn't help it. Other than the bruise on her face, she was a perfect specimen of a woman. I couldn't help looking at her legs as she came down the stairs. I could picture her legs going all the way up to her ass. Damn, what was I thinking? This was a business dinner. As we got ready to leave, Shelley held out her hand and said, "It was very nice meeting you, Mr. Jones, and once again thank you for helping my mom." I smiled and we walked out the door. What was I doing here? Was this a date, a business dinner, an interview? How did I put myself in this situation? That's one for the books. This lady was every bit as smart as I was. We seemed compatible in intelligence. I opened her car door, and as she slid in I saw much more thigh than I should have, but again I was a thigh man. I closed her door and got into the car. Then we headed for the restaurant. I must say she looked beautiful and even was able to use makeup to cover the bruise on her cheek. We headed for the Red Lobster. When we pulled up she glanced over at me and said, "One of my favorite restaurants." I answered with, "Mine too." We sat down and I asked her if she wanted a drink before dinner. She said that if this was an interview then the answer was no, but if it was a date and me just wanting to know more about her, the answer was yes. Damn, she was smart. The waiter came over and asked if we wanted anything to drink before dinner. I glanced over at Jenny for a response, but she wasn't giving any. I asked the waiter to please bring 2 glasses of white wine. I glanced back over at Jenny, and this time she was smiling. She knew this was more than an interview. We did a little small talk and drank our wine and were eating our salad when Jenny asked if I was ready for the intimate details she had promised. I told her I was beginning to find her intriguing, and yes, I would like to know about her life. She looked back at Annie and said, "Jack, I hardly know you. How much do you feel you need to know for the job purposes?" "Well, I would like to know everything about you, but we both know that's not fair, so just tell me about the psycho and why he slapped you." "Fair enough, Jack. I will have to go back and tell you a little about my past so it all makes sense. When I was 18, my boyfriend and I had a child. my son Brian. We never got married but lived together like so many young people did at the time. 2 years later I had a second child. You met her tonight. Shelly was my beautiful baby girl and of course now a beautiful woman. Brian, my son, is away at college and Shelly goes locally. She didn't want to leave her mom home alone. I lived with their dad until he went in the service and became a casualty of war. That's what they call it, you know, a casualty of war, not a father of two young children or a husband or lover, just a casualty of war. Well, anyway, I was left alone to raise my children. My parents helped. In fact, they are still in our lives. They are in their 60s but are still good parents to me. I also have a married sister, and we are kind of best friends. I didn't put my age on my resume. As you know, it's not required, but I am 41. I dated throughout the years. I could never find a man that I felt that close to again. That's when I met Joseph, or Joe as we call him. He was the psycho you almost met yesterday. He has been in and out of my life throughout the last 5 years. He was a nice person and at times loving. He has a big jealousy problem. He thinks he owns me and if I ever go out with another man he usually shows up and ruins it. We never lived together nor were we ever engaged or anything like that. He asked me to marry him a number of times, but I have always told him, no, that I just wanted to be friends. He can't accept that. Last Saturday the department store where I worked was having their goodbye party. They rented a hall and had dinner and drinks. We all worked together for so long and then our place was closing. Everyone was hugging, kissing and crying. We were like one big family. It was sad saying goodbye to so many long-time friends. No one did anything that would be considered disrespectful. Joe found out I was going to the party without him. Of course I didn't want to take him due to his jealousy. When he called me on Sunday I told him I would have lunch with him on Monday. That's when you saw us at the restaurant. I told Joe he was just too jealous and that I didn't love him and thought we shouldn't even see each other anymore. That's when he became enraged and called me all those names and he said he would get even with me. Then he stood up and slapped me. The rest you know. She had tears in her eyes as she finished talking. I took her hands in mine and I held them gently. I wanted to cheer her up before our main course arrived so I told her I had good news. I turned her resume into the bosses that afternoon and she had an interview with them Friday. She asked me how good her chances were since she was considered unemployed as of last Friday. I smiled and said, "Yours is the only recommendation I turned in." She smiled at me as our dinners arrived. I really enjoyed her company. I decided to take it easy and let life take its course. I didn't want to jump into any relationships. After dinner I took her home. She thanked me for a nice dinner and good conversation. I watched as she entered her home and then left for my own. I didn't see her again till Friday. She was right on time and I greeted her and asked her to follow me. We went into the conference room with the three members of management and myself. There were two men and one lady doing the interview. They looked over her resume and asked a number of questions. I sat back and listened to her answers, all of which were precise and excellent. They asked me to escort her to the lounge and for me to return for our discussion. As I entered, they smiled at me and said she was a brilliant choice and commended me on finding the qualified people needed in our business. They told me I could tell her that she could start Monday and that it was my job to see she got whatever she needed, since she would be my assistant and working closely with me. I thanked them and then went to talk to Jenny. I walked into the lounge with my head down like there was a problem. I could see the questionable look on her face. I looked up and smiled and said, "Congratulations on your new position as assistant manager of human resources. That's what they called us now, human resources." Jenny looked so happy as she stood up and started to give me a hug, then said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was just so happy I wasn't thinking." I smiled and said, "Maybe another time then." We both laughed. I introduced her to Rose, who is my secretary and would also be hers. I explained that Rose was one of our most respected and long-time employees, being with us for over 37 years. Rose would answer any questions she had for now and take care of the needed paperwork, and I would see her on Monday. I told her we would be spending a lot of time together, and if she had any questions, she should not hesitate to ask. I tried to be businesslike, but it was hard because this was one exceptional woman. I found myself thinking of Jenny all weekend. Starting Monday, we would be working closely since contract negotiations were coming up and the company was also going to expand. I was almost glad to go to work on Monday because I knew I would see Jenny. I tried to look extra nice and put on probably too much cologne, but I wanted to look good. You would have thought it was my first day. I arrived before Jenny. I was seated at my desk when she arrived. I asked her to be seated and we started with a little small talk. Her office was next to mine with Rose's desk just outside of our doors. I explained what we would be doing over this next couple of months for negotiations. It looked pretty good for us this year. Profits were up and we would be able to give the employees a raise. Of course we would have to barter back and forth, but we already knew what the end result would be. Time flew working with Jenny. I asked her if she made plans for lunch, or if she wanted to eat lunch with me. She chose me. Over the next 2 months we had lunch together at least 3 times a week. She was growing on me and I knew it. I would have to ask her out but was waiting for the right time. Then as luck would have it she asked me out. Her son was going to be home from college, and she was having a get-together at the house for his 21st birthday. She mentioned that it was all couples but her. Shelly and her boyfriend, her son and his girlfriend and a few other friends and their husbands and wives. I gladly accepted. She said it was Shelly's idea, that she worked so much right now she hadn't been dating much, and seeing she spent all that time with me that I was the proper choice as her date. We both laughed, and I told her I had to remember to thank Shelley, that I wanted to ask her out but just wasn't sure how to go about it. Jenny looked at me, waited a few seconds and then softly said, "Next time just ask me." The get-together was nice. I met Brian for the first time. He was a big strapping man now who was studying engineering. I told him if he kept his grades up we might have a position for him when he graduated. That put a big smile on his face, and I received a big thank you and handshake. I met Jenny's brother and two sisters and their families. Jenny didn't tell me the truth about only couples being at the party. There were a lot of kids and single people there also. When I mentioned it, she smiled at me and said, "I waited 2 months and you weren't asking me out, so I took matters into my own hands." There must have been near 50 people at the house. When someone started playing some music, I looked around for Jen. I wanted to dance with her. I needed to get close. She came up behind me and said, "Okay, boss, time for that hug." As we started dancing, she remembered the time in the office when she almost hugged me. I held her close and it just happened. I kissed her, right there in front of her kids, her friends and her family. I don't know what made me do it. Probably 2 months of pent-up passion. It wasn't a peck, it was a lover's kiss. At the end of the kiss, I felt embarrassed. I apologized and she told me to shut up and she kissed me again. God, how I wanted her. We continued dancing and of course went back to acting normally, but we both knew it would never be the same. Her relatives even started to treat me differently. I don't know, it was just a feeling in the air. It was like I was falling in love and everyone could see it. As the party was ending, I said my goodbyes to everyone. I was getting ready to go to my car when Jen stopped me. "Jack, if you have a minute, there is something I want to show you." Then she excused herself from her remaining guests, and I followed her into the house and into her bedroom. As I walked in, she turned around and she kissed me again. I mean really kissed me. "Jack, I'm falling for you and I need to know if you feel the same. I'm not a slut or a whore, but I am a woman, Jack. I've fallen for you too, Jen. It's been so long since I've felt this way about a woman that it's awkward for me. I've wanted you since the day we met, well, the second day we met at the office. Do you want to be my girl?" "Yes, Jack, I do." We kissed one more time and went back outside to join the remaining guests. I asked Jen if she was free the next day and she said she was. I told her I had something to show her and would pick her up around noon. I gave her a light peck on the lips and went home. The next day was Sunday and I picked her up at her house around noon and she asked me what I wanted to show her. "My apartment." I answered. "Jen, I want to make love to you. If we do this, nothing will ever be the same. Are you all right with this? I promise you dinner afterwards if you like." I smiled. "I'm all right with it, Jack, but what about our relationship at work? You will still be my assistant. I don't care who knows about us. Hell, they probably all know my feelings about you anyway. I think I have been wearing my feelings on my sleeves ever since you started working there." I pulled into my parking space at the apartment, and we went in. It was cleaner than usual. I spent the whole morning straightening up the place. Jen came in and looked around. I first kissed her in the living room. Then she walked into the kitchen and I backed her up against the counter and started kissing her again. Only this time I didn't stop. I unbuttoned her blouse and started kissing her neck and shoulders. I put my hands on the sides of her breast and kissed the valley between them. I was in heat and Jen was arriving at the same spot quickly, as I reached behind her and unfastened the clasp on her bra. I pulled her blouse and bra off her shoulders and kept kissing her breasts. I heard Jen say, "God, it's been so long since a man has made love to me like this. God, I love it, Jack." She freed the buttons on my shirt. As she opened it, I pulled her against my somewhat hairy chest and felt the nipples of her breasts pressing against me. I quickly unbuttoned her pants and let them fall to the floor. She reached over and unbuckled my belt, and I let my pants fall also. We both stepped out of them, and I asked Jen where she wanted to do it for the first time. She replied, "Anywhere, Jack, just make love to me." I pulled down her panties and took off my briefs also and sat in the nearest chair. After kicking her panties to the side, she straddled me, took my rock-hard cock in her hand, put it to the opening of her pussy and ever so slowly lowered herself down on me. She didn't even have to move. I felt her pussy pulsating the minute she lowered herself all the way down. I reached behind her and squeezed her ass as we both climaxed. It was unbelievable. It all happened in a matter of minutes. After we both settled down, we went into the bedroom and started all over with sensuous sex. The licking, eating, sucking and total loving kind of sex. This time we stayed in the bed for hours, resting and making love. When we were finished, we were too tired to go out to eat. About 7 that evening I took her home. The next day was another work day. After dropping her off I went home and went back to bed totally exhausted. As Jen and I entered work on Monday, our bosses called us in to talk with us. They told us that the company was going to add a new division to our present plant. They wanted Jen and I to head the hiring process. There would be over 60 jobs to fill and they were going to let us make all the final decisions. They said they trusted my judgment in the past and saw no reason to double-check our choices. There would be approximately 5 salary positions and the rest hourly. The rest of the salary jobs would be promoted from within our present workforce. We had to make it all happen in the next 3 months. We were both to receive a bonus when the job was done. We didn't have to worry about the wage scale since everyone started on the same level. Most of the jobs were of a production nature, and they would be union members since it was a closed shop, meaning all hourly workers had to join the union within 30 days. So Jen and I had our work cut out for us. Jen had a great suggestion. She could go through her employee list of the department store where she was the personnel person. Many of her old friends would be looking for work. She said she knew the good from the not so good, as she put it. It could save us a lot of time and the company money on the hiring process. Jen designed a letter for all former employees of her department store, and we posted it in the paper under the Help Wanted section. We got permission to give first priority from our union and the company since this was a unionized department store. That way everyone was happy. When we started our interviews, we decided to both interview different potential employees separately, making a yes, no, and a possible pile. Then there would be a second interview of our yes pile until all positions were filled. We had to interview everyone who applied because we were an equal opportunity employer. The only exception was of the department store employees. The union provided us with a list of the store's former employees, and Jen went through making check marks for me on all the ones she had an opinion on. By the end of the week, we started interviewing applicants. We allowed 20 minutes per applicant. It went well with Jen's list, making it much easier. After a couple of weeks, we found we were way ahead of schedule and decided to slow up a bit to give us time to be together. We had a night out and another great night of making love. Jen was a wonderful lover, and we started talking about possibly a future marriage. I remember Jen saying other than work, she knew nothing about my past. Since I was 44 and such a good lover, she wanted to hear about it. I told her not that night, because right then I just wanted to make love to her. I promised that I would sit down and tell her about my past. I told her it might make her change her mind about me. She said outside of my having killed someone, she doubted that would ever happen. I asked her about the shady part of her past and whether I was going to hear about it. She laughed and told me I knew about her past, and she wasn't about to tell me about her dull sex life. There wasn't a man alive that could make her feel the way I did. I asked her about Crazy Joe, and she replied, "Yes, Jack, I had sex with him. I was at a low point, and he happened to be there. It happened, and I'm not proud of it, but I was single. Now the only man I want is you." A couple of days later, Jen said she wanted to introduce me to one of her old girlfriends that was a department manager at the store. She was divorced, good-looking, and I was to keep my hands off her. In walked my ex-wife Bree. We were both surprised to see each other. Jen had no idea that Bree and I were once married. After the divorce, Bree took back her maiden name. I was dumbfounded and had no idea what to say. I hadn't seen Bree since the divorce, and here she comes in with my girlfriend and possibly my future wife. Jen looked at both of us and said, "What is it? Do you two know each other?" Bree looked at Jen with tears in her eyes and said, "Jen, Jack and I were married. There was a big misunderstanding and Jack walked out on me."
"Misunderstanding?
You were fucking a strange man in our bed.
You call that a misunderstanding?
It was a mistake, Jack, you know that.
I thought you were cheating on me."
"Mistake? You call picking up a stranger and fucking him a mistake?
Picking up the wrong steak, misspelling a word. Those are mistakes. What you did was tear my heart out and give it to the dogs.
I'm sorry, Jen, I'll talk to you later. I can't stay here right now. Please cancel or take my appointments for the rest of the day.
I'm sorry."
I had to leave. I couldn't handle it. My girlfriend and ex-wife were old friends. I had no idea what to do then. Jen was probably going to offer her a job. "I don't think I can handle this." I wasn't much for drinking in public, so I stopped by the liquor store and picked up a bottle of whiskey. I took it to my apartment and started drinking it. I called Rose at the office before I was drunk and told her I wouldn't be in the next day, which was Friday. She asked me if I wanted to talk to Jen, and I told her no, just tell Jen I would be in Monday. I started drinking until I had passed out. I could hear my phone ringing in the background over and over, but was too far gone to answer it. Much later, I heard a knocking at the door. It sounded so far away. Then there was someone there. I was passed out on the couch, and a woman was applying a cold towel to my forehead. Who was it? I couldn't focus. I passed out again. I woke up and it was dark in the room except for a lamp in the corner. I was still lying on the couch with my head on a woman's lap. Who was it, Bree or Jen? I finally was able to focus, and there was Jen putting another cold compress on my forehead. She had tears in her eyes and said,
"I'm so sorry, Jack, I had no idea."
I got up and staggered to the bathroom and threw up. I was in there for about 10 minutes. After washing my face, I came out, and Jen had made us some coffee. I really didn't have a taste for it right then, but knew I ought to drink it. Jen looked at me and said,
"Jack, we need to talk about it.
Bree told me her side, but I need to hear it from you and where we stand now." I proceeded to tell Jen about my marriage. I told her how it was a nearly perfect marriage till my friends pulled the prank on Bree and how it backfired. I told her how I found Bree fucking the stranger in our bed. I just couldn't live with it, and never returned to the house other than to pick up my belongings. The marriage was over.
"Do you still love her, Jack?"
"Yes, in a sense I do.
You don't just fall out of love. It's kind of like you and your boyfriend who was killed. You still have feelings for him, don't you?"
"Yes, of course I do, Jack, but that was different.
He was killed."
"Yes, Jen, it was different but similar. When I saw Bree with that stranger, she killed our marriage. At that point it was over. I still carried feelings for her in my heart, but I could never love her outwardly again."
"What about us, Jack? How do you feel about me now since you've seen Bree again? She is a beautiful woman, Jack.
Jen, I have a special place for you in my heart. It's a place only for you and no one else. I love you as much as any man can love a woman. I would marry you tomorrow if you wanted to marry me. You made me feel like a total man again. You've shown me that I was able to love again. I thought those days were gone, but I have them with you. You mean the world to me.
What about Bree, Jack? It's over between me and her, Jen. I don't care if the two of you want to be friends, but I can't be friends with her. Not right now. I know she's smart, and you want to offer her a position. I'm okay with that as long as all dealings with her are through you. At least for now. Jack, I can handle that and I love you so much. I can handle all the excess baggage you have as long as you love me and make love to only me. For the record, Jen, if you have any problems with anything I do, please come to me before taking any action against me. I promise, Jack. Well, that's how we handled the situation. Jen did offer Bree a job, but if she had any problems, she had to take them to Jen. Off the record, Jen told me that Bree still had feelings for me and Jen said she wasn't going to tempt fate. Bree wasn't allowed near me. We filled all the positions in record time. We also closed the union negotiations without a hitch. The managers were so impressed that they promoted me to unit manager in charge of the new section with a hefty raise. They promoted Jen to human resource manager. We were so happy that we were going to go out and celebrate. I was on my way to Jen's when my cell phone rang. It was Jen. She said she was home alone and Psycho Joe was banging on her front door trying to get it. I told her not to worry because I was on my way over. I was about 5 minutes away. When I got there, the front door jamb was broken open and I heard screaming from the bedroom. I rushed in and saw Jen's blouse was ripped open and Joe was holding her down trying to rip her panties off. I reached around and grabbed him by the throat and threw him against the door. I hit him time and time again, on the face, in the stomach, anywhere I could find a place to land a punch. He went down and I started kicking him. The next thing I felt was the police pulling me off of him. I was so enraged I almost hit the officer till he held my arms back. The police took him into custody on charges of breaking and entering and attempted rape. He would be going away for a long time. After the police left, Jen explained what happened. It seems as though Joe had been stalking Jen for months, watching her every move. I guess he really was a psycho. He did tell her he was going to get even with her someday. He had yelled through the door that if he couldn't have her, no man would. After she called me, she called 911 and left the phone off the hook. Apparently they were able to hear his conversation as she ran to the bedroom and locked the door. He was able to just kick it in, and then he was going to rape her. He had a knife which the police found next to the bed. During the fight with Jen, she had kicked it out of his hand. She was quite a fighter. After everything was pretty much back to normal, I asked her about our night out. She said she didn't think so, but if I could find a way to lock the front door, she would lie down and rest with me for a while. That's exactly what we did. We kissed and held each other. She did let me rub her breasts and mound a little. We got up just in time, and she got dressed before her daughter came in.
What happened, Mom?
The door is busted down. Jen explained what had happened, and Shelley came over and hugged me.
It seems you are always saving my mom. Why don't you hurry up and marry her so you will always be there when she needs you?
Shelley smiled.
Do I have your permission to marry your mom, Shelley?
My God, yes. I don't know why you two waited this long. I never met two people so right for each other.
In that case,
I knelt on one knee in front of Jen and asked her to be my wife. Jen and Shelley both started crying and Shelley said,
Answer him, Mom.
Yes, Jack, yes, I will marry you.
We were married within the month. We actually had a church wedding with Brian giving his mom away and Shelley as the maid of honor. I needed a best man. I talked to Jen and she told me that someday I had to forgive my friends. I made a special call to Jim and asked him to be my best man because I was getting married again. I told him to ask Bill to come also. I had a new wife and a new beginning and I did miss my friends. I made them promise that there would be no pranks. For those who are interested, Bree was invited to the wedding but chose not to come. Life is good. Starting over is a good thing no matter what the age.
Chapter 02
Bree begins. My first husband was always working late. He worked in an office downtown and said he had to put in the long hours to get ahead. I would complain but he always said he was doing it for us. He called again and said that he would be working over a couple of hours and not to hold dinner for him. I felt sorry for him and decided to pick up something for him at a quickie restaurant and take it to him. I walked in with a dinner for him. As I approached his office door, I saw he had his secretary bent over the desk with her skirt up on her back with no panties in sight. He was plowing her with everything he had. They were making so much noise that they didn't see me walk in. He exploded into his secretary and then turned around and saw me. Too late for any excuses, I screamed that he need not come home. He could stay with his slut. I would be at the divorce lawyer's office the following day. We had only been married for 2 years at the time. I took him financially for all I could get. I remember saying, if I had to do it all over, I would have picked up some guy and fucked him in front of him to get revenge. I guess I felt cheated by not getting my revenge. I started dating again but was leery of most guys. Then I met Jack. We met about 15 years ago. Jack and his friends went to the local nightclubs. That seemed to be the place where the people met. I ran into Jack there. We hooked up pretty quickly and spent most of our time together. Our life was good together, or at least seemed to be. Jack was a personnel manager at one of the larger factories. I had a good job as a department head in one of the local department stores. Our life looked like it was going somewhere, and was very satisfying. We didn't have any kids, not that we didn't want any, but it just hadn't happened. Jack's friends were jokesters, always pulling pranks. His friends would always try and get my goat. They would say what a pussy hound Jack used to be. I told them that was before he met me and that now his life was changed. One time I got a little aggravated. I told his friends that if he ever cheated on me, I would get even. I remember Jack saying I never had to worry about that because he had no intention of ever cheating on me and that he loved me too much. It was about 2 weeks later that his buddies thought they would have a little fun with me. One of them took his girlfriend up to Jack's office while another one of his friends called me and asked me if I would bring Jack a dinner. He would be working late. The whole idea was when I walked in the office I would think it was Jack humping a woman when it would have really been his buddy with his girlfriend. Once I saw who it was, everyone would have a big laugh at my expense. They didn't know that was the exact circumstances of my first divorce. Jack had told me earlier in the week that he had a dinner appointment with his bosses, who were all involved in the latest contract negotiations. I guess I forgot about his meetings since he had so many of them. It wasn't that important to know anyway, he always had meeting. Well, I showed up with some Chinese food and was headed to Jack's office. Bill, one of Jack's friends, had his girlfriend over Jack's desk plowing her fields. I heard the sounds as I got closer to the door. I could see a man fucking a woman through the window. Of course, I thought it was Jack since it was his office. I didn't go any further, I just dropped the food right there on the floor and headed out the door crying. I guess Jack's friends ran after me but didn't catch up to me in time as I got in my car and sped off. I was horrified and not in my right mind. I went to the first bar I came to, a real dump, and ordered a drink. Some guy, a complete stranger, came up to me and asked if I wanted company. I was crying at the time. Then I made the biggest mistake of my entire life. I decided to get revenge on Jack this time. I was going to get even. I took this complete stranger home to my house and fucked him. This time I was going to get my revenge. God, how stupid could I have been? I mean, there was absolutely no excuse for my actions. I was totally enraged with Jack. I let this complete stranger take me out of revenge. How stupid can a woman be? I heard the phone ringing but wasn't going to answer it. I wanted Jack to find me fucking another man to extract my revenge on him. Jack showed up a few minutes later. What he saw was a stranger between my legs humping me for all he was worth. When Jack entered the room, he looked at me and I asked him, "How does it feel, you cheating bastard?" At that point, Jack's friends came into the room and saw me spread-eagled with this stranger I had picked up. Jack turned around and walked out. His friends tried to stop him but he kept going. Here's what happened after Jack left. They all stood there wondering what had happened. At about the same time, the stranger pumped his load into me. He got up and told me, "Anytime you want to get even again, lovely lady, give me a call." He left me a card and smiled at them as he walked past them. I looked at them and said, "Where the fuck is Jack? I want to know his fucking response." I told him if her ever cheated on me I would do the same. "Where the fuck is he?" Jim spoke first. "He left, Bree." He walked out the door. "The reason we are all here was to tell you that Jack didn't fuck anyone." "Bullshit." "He did too. I saw him, in his office, fucking some woman." Barb spoke. "It was me, Bree. I was having sex with Bill." "God, I'm so sorry. We were just playing a little joke on you and Jack. You ran out so fast we weren't able to catch you. We called Jack and told him and waited for him to get back to the office. He asked us all to come over here and apologize to you. That's why we're here." "Joke? What fucking kind of a sick joke is that? You probably ruined my marriage. What kind of friend would even do that? Where was Jack then if he wasn't there?" Jim spoke. "He had that contract dinner meeting with his bosses. Remember, he told you about it the other day when we were all together." I started crying and told them all to get out. They tried to explain further but I told them I didn't ever want to see any of them again. I was so fucking stupid. All I could think of was revenge. God, would Jack be able to forgive me? I kept trying to call Jack. I had to apologize. I had to tell him the truth. Finally, Jack answered his phone. I guess he figured I wouldn't stop calling till he did. I kept telling him how sorry I was and asked him to forgive me. It was one big giant mistake. It was his friend's fault. Jack finally talked to me. "Bree, you took a strange man into our marital bed within an hour of thinking I did something that I promised you I would not do. Our marriage is over. If that's the full extent of trust you have in me, it's not enough. I want nothing more to do with you. I loved you. I guess I always will have feelings for you. You don't just fall out of love with someone. At the same time, Bree, I hate you. I hate what you've done to our marriage. By the way, your stranger friend didn't even wear protection. I hope you didn't catch an STD or maybe even get pregnant. Don't call me again. You can talk with Sally, my lawyer, about the distribution of assets. I did see a doctor and took a morning after pill. I was at least glad for that. I made the biggest mistake of my entire life. I lost a man I loved all due to his friends playing pranks. Jack told me that he could never forgive me. It was just too much to ask. Over time I was able to put my life back together without him, but I know that it would be something I'd never ever forget. I was working at the department store when I received more bad news. They were closing all our stores. Now I would be out of a job too. Damn, my life really sucked. I befriended our personnel gal who tried to help her employees out. She took resumes of those she thought were better workers and said she would vouch for us whenever we had an interview anywhere. She really tried hard for us but was losing her job too. The two of us became friends, not buddy-buddy but friends. I didn't know much about her personal life and I sure as hell wasn't going to tell her what a fuck-up I was. About a month after our store closed and everyone was unemployed, we all got a letter from Jen, our old personnel manager. She had gotten a job as an assistant human resource person at a major plant in our area. Since it was a union plant and our department store was also a union employee store, she got them to interview all her recommendations for jobs. I was one of the people who was interviewed. I was really happy but was a little worried about my chances of getting hired. I didn't tell Jen, but her boss was my ex-husband, Jack. When I went in for the interview, she introduced me to Jack. My ex talk about someone seeing a ghost, it was Jack. He was totally flustered. Then I found out the real reason why. I thought it was seeing me, but that was only part of it. You see, he was engaged to marry Jen. Quite a mess, if I must say so. Jen told me later that she and Jack talked it over and they were going to hire me, but if I had any business in the human resource office, I was to deal with her. I had no problem with that. I needed a job and this was really a good opportunity. Good job with high wages. Jen and Jack were going to get married and Jen did invite me to the wedding. No way could I have ever gone. I lost Jack and being around him was not in my best interest. I was angry that he did make up with his friends. The same ones who pulled the prank and helped cause our divorce. Don't get me wrong. What I did was totally wrong. Picking up a stranger to get even was wrong. Totally wrong, I'll admit it. But I do blame his friends for starting the whole damn thing. I would love to get revenge, not on Jack but on Bill and Jim, the two who set up the prank in the first place and helped ruin my life. I couldn't see any way to set them up and eventually dismissed the idea. A few months had gone by since I started my new job. I even got to a point where I said hi to Jack when I saw him. I didn't have a lot of reason to go to personnel, but when I did, I almost always talked to Jen. We were still friends, but not in a close way. The best way to explain it is we didn't hang out together, but I do consider her a friend who went out of her way to help me find work. I respect her for that, and I do wish her and Jack the best. They are two nice people. I went on with my life. I was careful when dating. After all, I already had two failed marriages. I told myself to take it easy. I hung out with a few of the single and divorced girls from work. I guess we all had a lot in common. Then I met Matthew. God, what a hunk. He came over and asked me to dance. I kept telling myself slow and easy, don't rush into anything. Matthew was divorced and had two children who lived with his ex-wife. We started dating and he started telling me about himself. He was a cop, yes, a police officer. He had been on the force going on 15 years. Tall, good-looking, muscular, most women's wet dream. I asked him what caused his divorce, and he told me his ex couldn't handle his line of work. She was either scared for him or jealous of his job. Whenever he left for work, she worried about him. Worried that he might not come home. Then when he had a bust, he dealt with the women of the street, as he liked to call them. Everything from hookers to muggers. He laughed when he told me about them. He said he also had to deal with the men of the street too. I told him a little about myself but didn't delve too deep. I didn't want to scare him away. We went out fairly often. We were two grown adults, so if you are wondering, we did have sex. It was good, but I had a tendency to hold back. I was afraid of falling in love again. After dating a few months, he wanted to know more about me. I told him I would tell him more when I felt more comfortable with him. I'm not sure he understood, but was nice enough to tell me he didn't want to pressure me into anything, but he thought he might be falling in love. He said he knew he was in lust. I didn't want to admit it, but I felt the same way about him. We went to the club where our whole group hung out. A few of the gals had dates, and I was with Matt. As we were dancing, I thought about Matt and what a wonderful guy he was. I was afraid when I told him about my past, I might lose him. Then I looked up and saw Bill and Jim with a couple of bimbos. When I say bimbos, I mean it. I figured the way they were acting that their bust size exceeded their IQs. I got real nervous when they saw me. This was the first time I saw them this close since my marriage ended. I was scared and started shaking. Matt held me tight and asked me what the problem was. I looked up and saw Jim and Bill telling their dates something they found funny and pointed in my direction. Then they were smirking and grinning at me. God, how I hated them, and now they were probably going to try and ruin my life again. I felt tears come to my eyes, thinking it was all over for me, when Matt said, "Honey, what's the matter? I've never seen you like this, and it's worrying me. Matt, I made some really terrible mistakes in my life that I have been afraid to tell you, and now the mistakes are going to take you from me. I'm so sorry." "Rubbish, Bree, I really care for you, and whatever you did, we can work it out. I'm a cop, and I've seen things in my life that were horrific that I had to live with after seeing. I know if you give me a chance and be honest with me, we can work it out. Now let's go sit down, and you can tell me this horrible thing that you have done. Matt, I've been married and divorced twice. I know I told you that my first husband cheated on me, and when I found him screwing his secretary, I asked for a divorce. What I never explained to you was my second marriage and divorce." I went on to tell him about picking up a stranger to get revenge, and all the time my husband was innocent of any wrongdoing. I then told him about Bill and Jim, who were watching us and laughing. They had said it was a prank, and their prank along with my stupidity ruined my life. I told Matt that I would understand if he never wanted to be with me again. I tried to tell him between tears that I was not a whore or a slut. I was a woman who carried a bad grudge and let it get out of hand. Matt looked at me and took my hand. "Bree, I know that was hard for you to tell me. You have to know by now that I really care for you. Time will tell if it's love that I feel. I can take all your past, let's call it indiscretion, as long as it is your past. Always tell me the truth and I know we can work it out. I feel some real hostility in you against these two men. I can feel it killing you inside. Do you want to tell me about it now, or would you like for me to go talk to them right now and get this shit straightened out?" "Oh my God, Matt, please don't speak with them. I hate what they did to my marriage and have always wanted to get revenge on them. I'm afraid that if I did anything that it would backfire and ruin my life even more. Since I met you, I thought my life was finally getting back on track. Bree, do you trust me?" "Yes, of course, Matt. I trust you. I mean, really, trust me. Do you want me to help you settle an old score?
God, Matt, I don't know. I don't want to get you involved with my problems. But yes, I would trust you with my life.
What are you saying, Matt? You're an innocent person in all this. I would hate to involve you. It wasn't only hurting them I wanted as a revenge, but to let them know how it feels to be ridiculed.
Bree, if you're involved, that involves me. You can't try to do everything alone, Bree.
If you're my woman, and you have to tell me you are, I will help you get your revenge. I really care for you, Matt, and I want to be your woman. I truly do, but I don't want to see you hurt. The last thing I would want to do is hurt you, honest, Matt.
Okay, Bree, just be my woman and together we will overcome any problems you have, but I'll tell you right now, you have to have total trust in me, no exceptions.
Matt, I'll do whatever you ask, but please don't cheat on me or hurt me. I don't think I could live through it again, especially since I'm putting all my trust in you.
With God as my witness, I promise never to cheat on you or hurt you, Bree. I want you to know if someone hurts you in any way that they hurt me also. I protect and serve for a living, and there is no one I want to protect and serve more than you, Bree.
I had tears in my eyes as we kissed and kissed again. We got up and danced, and I held my new man close to me. I was already beginning to feel protected. Maybe life is done biting me in the butt. We continued dating and I felt free of a burden. I had laid all my cards on the line and Matt still accepted me. I was a much happier person. Matt promised me that he would keep me informed of any activities that he was involved in that could possibly get misconstrued. He said he wanted and needed my trust if we were to make it. I came to trust him completely. I couldn't believe I could trust a man again, but Matt was an exception. He always kept his promises to me. If you are thinking he was going to cheat on me and try some shit with me, you are wrong. He was the nicest and sweetest man I have ever met. He always puts me first and does his best to ease my mind when he had to deal with discreet individuals. About midweek, Matt showed up with his two kids, Mike and Michelle. They were twins. Beautiful looking kids. I think they were 12 years old. They were so respectable but yet preteen. Matt said they were all headed off for pizza and wanted to know if I wanted to join them. He said the kids wanted to meet me. We had our pizza and the kids told me about their likes and dislikes. They said their mom got remarried to an accountant. He was a nice man and treated them good. But he wasn't dad. They loved their father. I remember Mike saying, "If dad loves you, it's okay with us. What should we call you?"
"Mike, Bree would be fine with me, or whatever you feel comfortable with."
Michelle looked at me and said, "Bree, you're beautiful. I can see why dad loves you. Me and Mike are so glad daddy found someone. Especially someone as pretty as you. Michelle, you're a lovely young lady and someday you will be a beautiful woman. Even though you are beautiful on the outside, make sure you stay as beautiful on the inside."
Michelle came over and hugged me. It brought tears to my eyes. Matt was right when he told me I would love his kids. One night Matt told me he had to go meet a few very special friends, and he wanted me to know in case someone saw him with the women. I asked him if he could explain it further, and he said the less I knew the better it would be for me. He wanted to make sure that I knew he wasn't having sex with these women. It was a down and dirty business. It also wasn't part of his job duties, but he was doing a favor for a very special friend. I knew then that he never forgot his promise to help me. I couldn't believe how I trusted Matt. He was turning out to be a very special person in my life. He asked me to go out again on Saturday. He wanted to go back to where he figured Bill and Jim would be. We went with two other couples from work. As we sat down, I was approached by an old friend with whom I cut ties. It was Barb, the woman who was fucking Bill that awful night. Barb approached our table and asked if she could speak with me. I wasn't sure what to say until Matt told me I should listen to what she had to say. So I told Barb she would have to say it to both me and Matt. I kept no secrets from him. The three of us excused ourselves for a few minutes from the others and sat at another table. It was still early and the lounge wasn't jumping yet. Barb apologized again to me, saying she wasn't really in on the setup. Yes, she participated, but only as a horny woman. They didn't tell her till later, after I had walked out the whole story. Even then, it wasn't the total truth. She said that they, Bill and Jim, were always somewhat jealous of Jack. They pulled the most pranks on him for that reason. She said when she found out that the two of them weren't really sorry for what they did, that she slapped Bill's face and walked out on him. She hasn't dated either one of them since. She did say the thought of them made her sick to her stomach. Again, she apologized and had tears in her eyes. She really did want my forgiveness and friendship. No one was a better judge of people than Matt. I looked over at him, and he smiled and nodded. It was his way of telling me that Barb was being honest with me. I turned back to her and gave her a hug and told her I forgave her. She said she had just arrived with her steady beau. They were pretty serious about each other and asked if they could join our group for the night. I told her of course, and she waved to a nice-looking man, and then I introduced Barb and her boyfriend to everyone, including Matt. We were all having a great time and enjoying our friendship. We were a group that trusted each other. Barb told us to look at what just came in. We saw these three women who came in together. They were rather hard to explain. They were knockouts but at the same time sluttish. They were on the loud side but yet they made you look at them. Of course, some of the single men, or at least those who weren't with women that night, started hitting on them. The gals accepted the drinks but played a cool game. They couldn't have been hookers because we could see that they weren't looking for Johns. Our little group had to admit that the three women were interesting to watch. When they danced they were sexy, but if a guy put his hands in the wrong place he was reprimanded like a kid. These gals were different. A cross between a cop, a hooker, and a teacher all rolled into one. I watched Matt looking at the girls and I could see they smiled at him.
A slight sting of jealousy struck me, but I was able to control it. Matt leaned over and kissed me and then whispered in my ears so no one else could hear.
You're my woman, always remember that. Those three women are my friends.
Enough said. He took me by the hand and we headed to the dance floor. As Matt and I were dancing, I remember him telling me I did the right thing with Barb. She was used also, but not to the degree I was. Barb and I were friends for a number of years. She was a nurse at the local hospital. She always chose to work in the emergency room because she said it was such a fast-paced environment. I remember her telling me that was how she became as wild as she was. She said the juices flowed with the blood pumping hard all day, and she went out to help slow things down. She met Bill and Jim around the same time I met Jack, my second husband. She was just out to have fun and didn't want to get serious, and it bothered Bill especially. When Jack and I got married, all three were in our wedding party. I guess the guys couldn't handle Jack being happier and getting the girl and Barb telling them she wasn't ready for marriage. I went to the ladies' room with Barb. As you know, we aren't allowed to pee by ourselves. That was a joke, readers. I was glad that Barb was back. I really liked her as a friend, and now she was a lot calmer person. I guess our incident got her to thinking also. She told me her boyfriend was Dr. Ray. He was an emergency room doctor who had transferred in from another hospital. She did tell me she was honest with him and told her she lived a wild lifestyle but really was waiting for the right man. She said she thought it might be Ray. I started to feel happy for her. We headed back out to our table, and as we looked toward the doors and came the two pricks. Yes, it was Bill and Jim. The odd thing was, until you got to know them, they seemed like pretty decent guys. We always thought they were just pulling pranks, but now we knew the truth. They had an evil side. They got more out of embarrassing others to make themselves look good instead of improving themselves. They were known in the lounge since they went there often. They said hi to a number of their so-called friends and got a table. It didn't take them long to spot the three seductresses that seemed to be the center of attention. They hadn't seen us or our group yet. We were busy having our own good time. We all began dancing and telling our own stories. I was dancing a slow tune with Matt when he held me close. As he looked in my eyes, he told me he loved me. I squeezed him harder and said to him, "Matt, I'm falling in love with you also, and it's scaring me. I don't know if I can handle it after two failed marriages and you have two kids already. Sweetheart, as long as you trust me and we discuss our problems first, everything will work out. I promise you, it will all work out. Besides, once you meet my kids, Mike and Michelle, you're going to love them and they'll love you also." It wasn't long before Bill and Jim approached the three sexy women. They bought them drinks and invited them to their table. The girls played it cool. They told Bill that the three of them always stayed together. It was their way of protecting themselves from unwanted suitors. Of course, Bill invited all three to their table. From that point on, we really had no idea what they were talking about. Bill and Jim took turns dancing with all three. The gals seemed to mellow out a little. On the dance floor, they allowed very little touching. If one of the guys moved his hand down to one's ass, she just casually moved his hand back up. Jim eventually saw Barb and I and looked surprised. I guess they never thought we would be friends again. Jim pointed in our direction and said something to the three girls. We figured they still hadn't let the prank go, and it was pissing me off. Matt leaned over and kissed me and said, "Let it go, sweetheart, let it go." He could read me like a book. The girls looked in our direction, and I don't know if they snickered or smiled. But of course, Bill and Jim were laughing. Barb and her doctor boyfriend said she had to leave early. They had to work early the next day. The emergency room was always open for business. We all gave friendship kisses to each other, and of course, all the men shook hands. Barb thanked me again and again apologized for her past action. I shouldn't have waited so long to talk to her. She really was a good friend. Another mistake on my part, but at least these mistakes were getting corrected. As Barb and Ray left the lounge, Bill and Jim were watching them. Then they turned back to their three ladies in waiting. Matt told me it was time for us to leave also. He had to work tomorrow, but he would probably be seeing me first thing in the morning. I didn't quite understand what he was getting at, but I thought I would wait and see. I knew Matt loved me and would answer all my questions, but I knew he didn't want to be interrogated. He dropped me off at my home, kissed me goodnight, told me to get a good night's sleep and that he would see me in the morning. There it was again, see me in the morning. Why? I took a shower and headed to bed. I was fast asleep in no time. About 8 a.m. my phone rang and I was in half a daze when answering it. It was Barb. "Bree, get down to the hospital right now." "Barb? What is it? What's wrong? What happened?" "Nothing is wrong and everything is right. I can't tell you over the phone. Just get your little ass down here as soon as possible." And she hung up. What the hell happened? What could this possibly be about? I thought about Matt, but if he would have gotten hurt, I know Barb would have said something. I hurried and got dressed and headed to the hospital. As I entered the hospital emergency room, Barb ran up to me. "Come with me quickly." Barb spoke as she pulled me into a private room that said, "Hospital personnel only" on the door. It was a small viewing room overlooking another room. In the room lay two men that looked drugged. It was Bill and Jim. I asked what had happened and Barb said she wasn't sure, that they were both groggy when they were brought in. Then Barb started explaining what she saw when they were brought in. As I could see, they were both bald now. Barb told me it wasn't only their head as she laughed. But she said that wasn't the best or worst part depending on how you looked at it. She said that both men had condoms on, I mean really on. They were still on them under the blankets until the doctors decided how to remove them. The doctor's best guess was that the condoms were filled with super glue and then pulled on their hard cocks. Right now the problem was getting the condoms off with the least pain. It looked as though they might be taking some skin off with them. They would both need minor surgery to open up their pee and assholes. Barb laughed and said they had super glue running down the cracks of their asses also. Barb said, "If I didn't know any better and your boyfriend wasn't a cop, I would think you were behind this." She laughed. "Barb, I didn't do it even though I wish I could take credit for it. It couldn't have happened to two more deserving men. Bree, do you think it might have been those three gals we saw them with last night? I wonder what they did to piss them off."
"Barb, Matt and I left right after you. Bill and Jim were still with the girls. Maybe they tried one prank too many.
The two guys were starting to come back to life. They were screaming in pain, saying their private areas were hurting. Barb said we better get out of the room. We weren't supposed to be there. Dr. Ray, Barb's boyfriend, came out of the room and told Barb these guys really had a number done on them. He told Barb and of course me since I was with Barb that they were getting ready to remove the condoms and knew the guys would lose some skin also. He said opening their pee hole and asshole wouldn't be as bad as it seemed but for the next week or so they would be awfully tender. Whenever removing super glue you also lose skin. Ray then gave Barb a peck on the lips and told me it was nice seeing me again and he headed back to the room. Barb said she had time for a coffee break and we headed for the cafeteria. We were both happy and talked about it. When we got back to the emergency room there stood Matt in his uniform. He looked like a different person in uniform but still a hunk. He said he was called in about two men claiming to be victimized by three women. He was there to take their statements as soon as they came out of surgery. He introduced me to his partner saying I was his girlfriend. His partner was a woman, a good-looking one at that. For some reason I wasn't jealous anymore. Jill, the officer, said it was nice to meet me and I got a really good man. If she wasn't already married I might have had some competition. She was nice but I felt no threat. Matt was my man and I was his woman. No one would ever separate us. Matt told me he would stop by that night, and we could go out for dinner. Barb asked if we could make it a double date, and she and Ray could join us. We set up a time and told Barb to meet us there. Matt and Ray seemed to hit it off and got along well together. The four of us were sitting there having pre-dinner drinks, and Ray mentioned the two men that were brought in. He said the surgeries were successful but the men would forever remember it. It would be months before their hair would even be back to normal.
Barb and I just sat there listening. Ray asked Matt exactly what happened and who did it to those guys. I remember him saying, "I'd never want to meet those girls and have them get mad at me." We all laughed. Matt said that the two guys met the three girls the day before. Ray said he remembered seeing them when we all were out. He remembered the girls being knockouts. He asked Matt if the men knew who they were. Matt told him the two guys said that they gave them some names but don't believe it was their real names. They had never seen them before and hoped to never see them again. They, the men, asked the girls out to a motel. They said at first the girls balked about going with them and besides there was three of them. The guys said they didn't mind because they could take care of all three women. Eventually they all went to a motel. According to the men, which is the only side we heard, the women opened up some booze and they think the girls spiked it. Probably some kind of date rape drug. We had to laugh, because it seemed funny that girls would have to date rape a man. The men remember removing all their clothes and the girls playing with their cocks getting them hard. One of the girls said they had to use condoms and the men didn't have any problems with that. They said the girls put a lubricant into the condom saying it makes it much easier to put on. The guys said as the condoms were put on their cocks they must have passed out. When they awoke the girls were gone. They said they were in pain. Their hair was shaved off their heads and private areas. The condoms were stuck to their cocks and hurt like hell. They couldn't get them off. Their assholes felt closed shut. They called 911 and were taken to the hospital. When they got to the hospital they were given drugs for the pain.
Matt, are there any whereabouts on these women? Who are they and why did they do it? Anything at all?
Matt looked at all of us and said,
"The only thing we can think of is that the guys really pissed someone off. We asked them for names of people that might carry a grudge and the first two they mentioned were Bree and Barb. I told them that both women were interviewed and neither had any idea what had happened. I told them that you two thought they got what they deserved."
Barb said,
"You got that right?"
Bree just smiled.
Matt continued, "I then told the two men that the two ladies they mentioned were with me at the time. I took off my police cap and then they recognized me and started apologizing to me." Matt said his partner Jill told the men that she didn't know what kind of shit they were trying to pull but she better never hear of them blaming two innocent women.
I couldn't believe it, Matt's partner stuck up for us. "I'm going to like that girl." Matt told us they had no leads at all on the three women. He thought they might have come in from out of town. Bill and Jim were afraid to press any charges since they didn't know who was responsible, and it would really ruin their reputations if too much of the story leaked out. We were all smiling when dinner arrived. We had a good meal and great conversation. Ray asked if everyone was up for going out the following Saturday. We all said yes and decided where we were going to go. Life that week was great for me. I asked for a meeting with Jen and Jack together. When I approached them, I said I had something to say to both of them. We all sat down, and I told them what Barb had told me. I told them the only reason I was bringing it up was that they are a great couple and to kind of watch out for each other. If they decided to stay friends with Bill and Jim, then they should realize that they may not be as great of friends as they let on. I explained that I had a new man in my life and life was finally changing for me. Jack said he was happy for me and heard about something happening to Bill and Jim. They pulled a prank on the wrong person. They probably got what they deserved. Jen told me she always knew that I was a good person and finally life was getting better for me. I stood up and shook hands with both of them. After all, Jack and I were married once.
There is always a little love left over that stays in the heart. I headed back to my job. Matt said he had a busy week and would not see me till our double date with Barb and Ray on Saturday. So I did my best to keep myself busy. We met Barb and Ray at the Sheraton Inn Lounge. This was one of the swankiest places in town. No wonder the guys told Barb and I to dress up. We had our drinks and ordered dinner. After we ate, we went into the dance area. The DJ said he had a couple of special announcements and was welcoming people for their birthdays and anniversaries. Then he walked over to our table with a microphone and handed it to Matt. Matt took it and reached in his pocket and pulled out a ring. He knelt down on one knee and said, "Bree, you are the love of my life. Will you do me the honor of becoming my wife?" I was crying full-fledged tears as I answered, "Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. He handed the microphone to Ray so he could slip the ring on my finger. The whole lounge was clapping and screaming. Barb had tears in her eyes for me as we hugged. I hugged and kissed Matt I don't know how many times. Then as it quieted down, Ray had the microphone. "Barb, I know we haven't known each other that long, but will you be my wife?" He reached in his pocket and pulled out a ring, and as she screamed out, "Yes, my God, yes," the roar of the people started again. Ray slipped the ring on Barb's finger. Barb and I were both crying and hugging our men. Who would have ever thought they would have something like this set up? Matt and Ray looked at each other and shook hands. Ray looked at Matt and said, "Mission completed." The rest of the night was a whirl of dancing and fun. That night, Barb and I were probably two of the happiest women on the planet. We both were married within the coming months. We each had our own wedding but attended the wedding of the other. After all, we were now best friends. Epilogue: Barb and Ray were happily married and stayed working at the hospital together. About a year later, Barb had to take a maternity leave. Both mom and daughter are doing wonderfully. Jack and Jen attended my wedding. We remained friends but not close friends. I could tell that they were both happy for me. Bill and Jim didn't show up as often at the lounge as they used to. They never found the three seductresses who did a number on them. Last I heard, Bill and Jim aren't pulling too many pranks. Jack has pretty much cut them off as close friends but does talk to them. Then there is me and Matt. I have no secrets from Matt. We hardly ever argue. In my life, I feel like I went through hell but ended up in heaven with Matt. I have two stepkids who sometimes call me Bree and sometimes call me Mom. I love and adore both of them. I did ask Matt one time who the three seductresses were. He said to me, "Friends, enough said." I never questioned him again, and I never saw his friends again. I never got a chance to say, "Thank you." Matt said he said it for me. Life is good. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.